Are you ready to dream on? Do you know how to fly high and soar among the clouds? Get ready to live adventurously, because the Laura Meeks Show starts now. Listen as Laura lifts you off the ground while teaching you how to fly high. Forget ground-level drama and be prepared to confront your dreams head-on as she encourages you to navigate towards your North Star and into what just might be the best life you've imagined. Dream on. Live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show.
Hey, good morning. This is Laura Meeks. It's high noon here on the West Coast, and we are living the Vida Loca out here in California. Things aren't changing. For those of you out in the audience, I know that at least out here in California, we've actually, over the weekend, opened up some limited restaurants, and things are, quote, going towards our new normal. And so I think that bodes well for where we are. A lot of the show, the last show that I did was kind of hinged around the challenges of being here alive and well in on this planet Earth, and dealing with this pandemic. And as it said in the intro, my quest in life is to help each and every one of you guys figure out how to lead the best life you can. And my premise is this, is that my tagline is dream on, fly high, fly high living is the result of the discovery and the delivery of your true self. That's how we achieve fly high living, is we figure out and deliver the gifts that each of us have. Now, in light of that, I just absolutely love bringing guests here to the show so that we can talk about different little pieces of this being your true self, finding the authentic you, and bringing your gifts to the world. And often, and part of my quest in today's show is titled Flying Over Hurdles, because I know that a lot of you have been out in this environment where you're sheltered in place and you're living at home. And for some of you, that's a joy. For me, I work out of my house, so I hardly notice the difference other than we don't go out to dinner. But for a lot of you, this being together in a kind of a more of a forced scenario sometimes can create some challenges and some hurdles for you. And so I've brought to you all a new guest. Keith Engberg is here with us. Just to give you an idea, Keith is currently with the Desert Region Program Counselor with RI International. Part of the value, I think, is Keith, like all of us, has lived a life, and depression has been part of the challenge that Keith has faced. We all get some challenges. As many of you know, I have the transgender challenge, and I seem to have weathered that fairly well. And part of what I want to do is help people understand that change is inevitable, and you can weather the change. And so Keith is here working with RI International and a program called Peer Support. And I'll let Keith tell you more about that, but I want to kind of start to tackle some of the challenges of being home, the challenge of mental illness, the challenge of addiction. There's a lot of things that can happen to take you off the path to your authentic self and to living the life that you would love. And so this is kind of a show to talk about some of the challenges that people have had and overcome. And so I bring you Keith. Did I get a good introduction? Is that
you got the best introduction possible? Some people, when I hate using that term, some people, they wonder what RI stands for. So it was kind of rebranded. I couldn't tell you how long ago, but they used to be known as Recovery Innovations, but they are known, as you said, as RI International, and the information can be received on riinternational.com.
Sweet. Now, let's talk a little bit about the challenges that, because one of the things that I find is so important in this kind of work that we do is to kind of put a human face. You know, very often I've been around some of the big people that have been involved in personal development, and often you see them on stage or you know, you're in a giant auditorium, and they are these mythical people that are on the stage. But in reality, the rest of us are just living our lives. And so I want to talk a little bit about the human side of where you have been and how depression kind of entered into that picture. So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, absolutely. First, I wanted to share with you that I loved what you were sharing about fly high living. And basically, it very much coincides with the definition of what recovery is being that best self, using your abilities to be the best person that you can be. And then also piggybacking on the whole new normal. Well, wouldn't it be lovely in a environment to have the new normal include a reduction of stigma surrounding mental illness? Now, one of the keys to discuss early on, illness, mental health, wellness, mental health issues, challenges, concern, we can really tiptoe around, but at the end of the day, it is an illness. But to go back on how it got started for me, it was a not so happy accident. My career's in basically the legal firm I was working at. I was in radio, stage, hotel and restaurant management. So what do these have in common? Absolutely, absolutely nothing.
A little of everything going on here.
Yeah. And it's funny, somewhere in the symptoms of depression, it includes going from job to job. So that's one of the symptoms. Burnout came at the latter with the hotel and restaurant management, the long hours, no positive reinforcement, no validation.
I've been in that business. I'm getting on. I understand what you're saying.
And it was ironic because I was also a mobile DJ around town. I'm not sure, and I can't really remember and recall back in 2012 when I went and had burnout and had my breakdown. But basically, I went up to Loma Linda to be seen. I knew it was a good hospital, but I didn't know much about the insurance company policies and that San Bernardino, not Riverside County, and what that all looked like. They have an inpatient facility up there. Not to shine a poor light, again, they have great programs. But they didn't keep me for any longer than about 48 hours at best. They did share with me, and it does still exist. So Riverside County Mental Health, in the last 10 years, has been rebranded. I know it's a lot of words, but follow me. Riverside University Health System Behavioral Health. That's the new word for county mental health.
Okay.
They have an urgent care program. What that looks like, and it again for me, was a 14-day group therapy group led by two counselors. And it's about 9 to 2:30, 5 days a week. And you pretty much graduate that program. So going forward with that, how I became doing what I did is there was a ambassador for a local peer mental health facility that has since changed contracts. I won't bore you with those details, but,
All right, let's not.
Yeah. So, he shared information about his background, which was similar to mine, with his diagnosis of depression, but also his addiction. And we'll certainly talk about and touch on that later. But mine wasn't drugs and alcohol. Mine was food. And I'm sure you know, I don't know how much the audience might know, but I didn't know that that an eating disorder also included chronic exercise. So I fall both on the overeating, undereating, and chronic exercise. So I've been as much as 360 pounds and as little as 145 pounds in the last 30 some years, not to age myself.
That's like, yeah. this accordion. Well, and it's interesting in life that for the longest period of my life, I probably until I was about 50, in essence, I could eat most anything and I was active enough. It really didn't matter. But since then, boy, I've really learned the accordion. You know, as I get involved in work and stuff, I forget, and then I'm eating and we're eating out with clients, and next thing you know, we're having dessert and wine, and next thing you know, I'm plumped up here, and then I start back down there. Keith, I want to go back just for a second, because everybody goes through depressive episodes. This, for whatever reason, this last couple of days, I hit something, and I recognized that, you know, whatever was happening was, I was not feeling at the top of my game, but there is kind of a balance point between when you're just depressed and having a bad day and where you find yourself chronically. Where did you in your life find that you were kind of at a tipping point where you kind of said, like, this is like, I got to do something?
So to answer that, obviously it's a great question, but look, at the end of the day, going from that beginning that I shared from job to job, I was turning, at that time, I was around 40 years old. I'm like, man, I'm 40 years old and I really don't have a career yet. Yes, my stepfather said he was 65. He still didn't know what he wanted to do. And he was in the military for 30 years. Yeah, I get all that. But seriously, I needed a career. And ironically, it caused that not so happy accident for my breakdown. And like I had mentioned, when that person came and shared the information, I started going to this aftercare peer center. And it showed me that there was other people like me that had similar challenges. And maybe because I can speak well, I think one of the myths is, oh my God, you look so normal. Well, again, you know, we use that phrase, the new normal, for the future.
Yeah.
But again, normal, what do they say? Normal is just a cycle on the washing machine.
Yeah.
Right. So, So what is normal?
Yeah. Oh, honest to God. Yeah. What is normal? We could talk a day on that.
So look, at the end of the day, to know that not only I could speak to others, not only could I facilitate groups of things that I was passionate about. My mother had dealt, and I know this is about me and not my mom, she had dealt with mental health for 40 years. She did eventually take her life, and not to put a happy face on that, but the idea that my program, and we'll talk about it as well, it's a prevention and early intervention program, Contact for Change through RI. And at the end of the day, we're trying to reduce stigma, but prevention could be at 70 years old or at 8 years old.
Yeah. Well, truthfully, you know, I mean, my thing that I've learned is becoming your best self, discovering your technique, you know, your true self and your gifts. For some people, they take on this challenge early. Some people take it late. You could be 8 or 80. It doesn't really matter. But along those lines, the same little hurdles can trip you up, whether you're 8 or 80. And it doesn't, it's not like, I don't think there's a spot either where you're immune from this. There's all kinds of situations that can happen in your life that could put you into a depressive state. Now, part of what I want to go to before we get to the half hour break is the stigma, because one of the things that I participated with you in was one of these online sessions where two people sat down and told their story. And that's kind of, after the break, we'll go into more detail about how the physics of this program works. But one of the things that I shared with you, and I'll share with the audience now, is that one of the things that was very interesting, a kind of an awakening for me, my brother was diagnosed bipolar. Now, by the time this happened, I was already off in the Air Force. I was flying jets and doing stuff, and I wasn't really there in the early days for when they were dealing with his bipolar issues. Excuse me. And they were, and they were very strong. But as I got into, in fact, just after 9/11 hit, that drove my brother into an episode where he had to be hospitalized. And so I flew back mainly because my stepfather, who we all grew up with, was kind of the feeling of like, I can't deal with this. And he, and one of the things I shared with you is he grew up in the world where mental illness was when you were broken. There were normal, you know, dial up normal. There were normal people, and then there were people that were broken. And it's sad that, you know, from his point of view, it's sad that people are broken, but we don't let them into our normal life. We put them over in the state hospital or in some program, and they do their thing and we do our thing, and we don't have to worry about those people. And there's a huge stigma that goes with that. Now, I do think that we're vastly further along. And I think one of the things I value about the program you're in is that this is a method not only, not specifically for mental health workers, but for brothers, sisters, aunts and uncles, employers and employees to get a better grip on what exactly these challenges are, that these are treatable sicknesses, and that it's not that they have to be over there, right? That we can integrate them into our world. So let's talk about stigma for a second. Did you feel when you had your episode that like, oh my God, now what am I gonna do? I'm broken, I'll never work again. I mean, to me, that would be kind of going through my mind. But I'm hoping that people that are listening understand that if you have a challenge along any of these lines, depression, suicide, addiction, those are all treatable things if you can become aware, right? And then take steps to mitigate that.
For sure. For sure. It came pretty quick to me because, like myself, I like to share sometimes too much information at once, too many resources. right. But ironically, when I was back in college doing theater, I had a fellow classmate who was a playwright and also a social worker. So what that looked like, we're on radio, we have to describe it in that terminology, is there was a group, this was a men's group. Us theater students would do like a reader's theater of these skits that were relating to men's issues, being fathers, husbands, sons, whatever the challenges were. And then that group of men would talk about it. And specifically, because I was always taught men were supposed to be beacons of strength, I had never seen a grown man cry. And I know that's a bad stereotype and a myth. My dad didn't even cry when his dad passed away years ago. So the fact that I saw not only one man cry, but a whole room of them at once, although I probably didn't receive it properly at that time, later on when I did have my breakdown, I was able to cycle things back.
Yeah, well, and you know, in dealing with change, one of the things that is a real challenge is that we all are, when we all come into the world as little bitty babies, it's your parents and your associated caregivers that are actually kind of filling in the blanks of how does the world work. And that becomes your kind of your how the world works paradigm. That's like your operating system that's installed in your head. And again, in the you know, early 60s and 70s, the model is that there are normal people, and this is how normal people act, and this is what you do if you're a guy. You know, I grew up as a guy, and honestly, I went to dad school. At dad school, you're not a sissy, you're not going to cry. That's not how dads do it. And those are the paradigms, the operating systems that you work with. And then you get out into the real world and realize it doesn't have to be that way. That doesn't have to be your paradigm. And I think part of what I love about this peer support is that in the two stories that were shared when I was online in your webinar, two totally different scenarios and two totally relatable stories. Because, you know, part of the challenge I think that we deal with is that the television is so much a part of the information that's coming in. And kind of like in the 60s and 70s, Ozzie and Harriet was the model. You know, Leave It to Beaver was the model. Yet no one I knew lived that way. But every time you saw it on TV, you thought, okay, well, that's how everybody else is. My family isn't that way, but we're the one family that's not that way. And in reality, no one lived the Ozzie and Harriet life. We all live something different. And I think part of the value is as you're trying to figure out who you are and your authentic self, if addiction or depression or any sort of challenge that you have, that's just part of who you are. And that's just part of the things that we're talking about on how to move ahead.
And the average family is supposed to have 2.5 children. If you could tell me what that half a child is supposed to look like, please do.
Well, and, you know, white picket fence, that was kind of the model that I'd never met anybody that had a white picket fence in the country. No one had a fence. It's interesting, but I think the point that I want to make is that part of the reason that I bring you to the table is to say that this is a real person. It had a real challenge and dealt with it, and that when we come back for after the break, we will talk about specifically some of the programs that you're dealing with, because here in the Coachella Valley, we're out in Palm Springs, California. So for those of you not in the Palm Springs area, these kind of choices are available to you as well. And so part of what I want to get across is that normal is, I love that, normal is a setting on the dryer or on the washing machine. None of us live the Ozzie and Harriet life. If you think you're the only, you know, when I was transgender, by far and away the first, number of years. I mean, it's interesting as life encroaches on you. For the longest time, I knew I was different. I just didn't know how or why I was different until I was about 30. But then when I heard the term transgender, I thought, oh my God, I'm the only one. I'm the only one that has these feelings. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. And in reality, one of the beauties of where we are now is that we have the internet, and oh my God, there's hundreds of thousands of us out there. And I think that's the same thing that you're finding, right? That when you think you're the only person that has this deep depression, you're not the only one. There are lots of.
Right. And not only that, but ironically, because it's Mental Health Awareness Month, a group of medical students from University of California, Riverside, invited me to share my journey through their YouTube channel feature with a series called Putting a Lid on COVID-19. So basically, it features the series related to depression, stress, and anxiety during this pandemic. So again, that's another look at people that might be seen as normal that want to know how to deal with challenges that they're put in today's society.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're coming up on the break. And so part of what I want to end with this section is to say, yes, part of the challenge of this COVID thing is people are sheltered in place often. One of the things I think is a real plus coming out of this is that for those of you who thought your teachers at school were overpaid and hardly did anything except babysit your kids, welcome aboard. I think there's a whole new appreciation of what teachers do. And truthfully, you know, being at home is can be a real challenge. And that may just be the impetus that brings some of this to light. You may have all of a sudden, since you're not working, become aware that, oh my God, you know, I was droning along and I didn't realize I was really depressed and that I was using all these other things, food and work and exercise as my tool to get rid of all of this. And in reality, now you realize there is an issue. And this is what we're going to talk about when we come back. Keith's involved in some peer support, and we'll talk about specifically some of the things that Keith is working on. You are listening to The Laura Meeks Show. Dream on, fly high, live adventurously. We will be right back.
Have you ever wondered how you might feel differently if the books were full of her instead of him? What if your history lesson was filled with powerful women leaders and rulers? As a woman, would you feel more empowered? As a man, would you see women differently? I'm Megan Edge. I'd love for you to join me on my radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio. I hope to see you there.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Yeah, yippee-skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com. It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at JenniferBloom.com.
Living a richly abundant life sound too good to be true? Listen in to Richly Abundant Women with Julie Steelman on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Embrace a vibrant future of breaking free financially and creating a richly abundant life filled with prosperity and growth. To learn more about Julie Steelman and Richly Abundant Women, visit www.juliesteelman.com.
For stimulating conversation and keys that will change your life, tune in to Dynamic Destiny with Coach Pete every first and third Wednesday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Pete to get clarity for your calling and practical wisdom for results. For more about Coach Pete, visit PeteCoaching.com. That's P-E-T-E Coaching.com.
Hey, welcome back. This is Laura Meeks. You're on the Laura Meeks Show. We run from noon to 1 o'clock on the West Coast. We're out here in California. I'm in the Palm Springs, Coachella Valley area. For those of you who don't know where that is, you surely know where the Coachella Fest is. Oh. Until my kids went to Coachella, it's like no one knew where this place is that we live. But oh, you're with Coachella? You know. I know where that is. Like, okay, so that connects us to a different section of the audience. Those that are in my age group, in the boomer age, probably know more of Bob Hope and Palm Springs than they know of Coachella, but that's out there. Today we're talking about flying over hurdles. being out there in life, you're existing, this pandemic is yet. And my concern is that for a lot of you, the change from the daily grind that you were in to all of a sudden sheltering at home or being at home a lot is bringing up worry. You know, I mean, how am I going to pay my bills? I have a lot of friends, and when this first thing hit, all of a sudden, all of their gigs are gone, and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, what do you do now? I've never had this where, you know, I mean, people lose jobs, but to all of a sudden have the earth stop or the economy stop, kind of a challenge. But in amongst that, one of the things I was alluding to before the break was is that for many of you, we may be seeing the chance where all of a sudden all the distractions, the exercise that you were doing, because Keith, you mentioned that I do know a lot of people that, you know, that just, you know, are just spending days and hours at the gym because that's the thing that they want to achieve. But work, there's so many ways to distract yourself from what you're really trying to do here. And again, part of my feeling is that if you want to fly high, this is kind of fly high living. To me, fly high living is bringing the best of your gifts, the best of your personality, the best true, authentic person that you are to the world. And there are lots of ways to do that. There are lots of tools and techniques that I've learned that I'm sharing with people. But I also know that there are some hurdles. And often you have to become aware that there is a challenge in your life, and then you have to deal with that challenge. And often we use food, work, exercise, whatever, to kind of distract us. And all of a sudden, some of you may be home going, whoa, I didn't realize I felt this way. I've never sat down long enough to figure this out. So we brought in Keith. Keith has been working in the mental health arena for about 8 years, has suffered depression in his own personal life, and now is involved in a number of programs. One of the things, Keith, you and I were talking on the break, is that in the older model that I grew up with, you know, mental health was one of these things that you either were normal or you had a mental issue, and there was some sort of dividing line. And but once you crossed that line, then you were shipped off to be treated somewhere else, and then you came back. And often that was a state-run thing. But now, one of the big challenges now is that even if you were sitting at home and you came to the realization that you had a mental health challenge, talk to me about how the system works, who pays for it, and how that can be a challenge for somebody who wakes up and goes, oh man, I need to, what am I going to do?
Well, that's, again, it's not only a great question, but it's something that between that and I have a loved one that needs help, but they don't want to get it. How do I get it for them? Those are probably the two biggest. I want to touch on something you said right before the break. People that are listening from other areas outside of Riverside County, there is a there is an app that anybody can use on a smartphone. It's called Aunt Bertha. It's funded through Desert Oasis Healthcare District, but on the smartphone, it's called Aunt Bertha. What it is, and locally, it's called CVHIP, which basically stands for Coachella Valley Health Information Place. It's a community resource for housing, food, behavioral health, substance groups, at free or reduced cost, medical care, legal help, literally anything that 211 has times 1,000.
Tell me 211.
So again, it's
and healthcare, mental health care,
mental health, physical health. So literally everything. And going back to cost, not to be the cliche guy, but one of my favorites is, and I hear about it in the faith community, but for me, faith and recovery both meet you where you are at. And I say that because in my experience, someone can go to a dual diagnosis residential facility and them or their parents or their insurance company, however, pay $40,000 for recovery and then achieve it or not receive it. You probably know, I'm not sure what the statistics are as how many times someone goes back into treatment.
It's a lot.
Right. Or they can go to someplace for free, like the Coachella Valley Rescue Mission, join the 13-month New Life program that is faith-based, and I believe it's for men and women, and gain recovery there. So you have both ends of the spectrum. You have $40,000, $60,000, $80,000, or you have zero. I don't get paid by the Coachella Valley Rescue Mission. Yeah. I don't get paid by these dual diagnosis residential facilities.
Where's the logo over here?
Right. At the end of the day, my passion is to create wellness and information and knowledge. So sometimes when I get excited, I get loud or I start talking too fast. I have verbal diarrhea. Let me just call it that. That's my terminology. But I'm very passionate about what I do, and it motivates me to get up in the morning. Don't tell my boss or my funders, but I'm not sure it would matter what I was getting paid.
Well, and one of the things that I absolutely loved, that when I was flying airplanes, there was a day where I was flying over Australia, and I looked over at my co-pilot, and we looked at each other, and we said, "Oh my God, they pay us to fly this airplane over Australia." It's like, I mean, we would pay people to do it, much less get paid for it. So it becomes, I think people sense the passion that you have for helping people. And now let me ask you this, just because it crossed my mind.
Sure.
Coachella Valley Rescue Mission, in my mind, brings up homeless people and so then the question is if I'm sitting out in the Coachella Valley somewhere, anywhere in the broadcast area, and you're thinking, okay, I need to get some help. Isn't there a little bit of a paradigm there too, as to like, well, am I one of those people that have to go to the mission? Or talk to me about that. It's not that way, right?
No. So again, obviously the only way to get.
That's me.
The one time, right?
This is Zoom. We're on Zoom.
I know. It's okay. Okay. So at the end of the day,
it's better than the flushing toilet, right?
Yeah, there you go. And there isn't anyone else in the building next to me. It's a dental office, but there must be someone doing construction there.
Yeah.
On this of all days.
Yes.
At any rate, the idea, and here's an example. So minus the shelter in place, minus COVID, for one to receive any kind of service, first, they just have to ask. Number two, there's different programs. Again, more shout outs. There's a program called the Street Life Project. There's a gentleman named Christian Jelmberg, and he directs this program. And what they do in my best verbiage, in the state and in our area, they are creating what's called tiny villages. I don't remember the number of units per village. I want to say it's between 60 to 80 at least.
Okay.
But what's even more important than the shelter that the homeless receive, it is the wraparound services. And for those that don't know what wraparound means, it includes things like shelter and wellness and coaching and counseling and the whole person care model.
Right. To go down that road for a second, you know, I think typically, maybe this is part of my paradigm, but it would seem to me a very easy thing to happen where all of a sudden you realize you have depression, a deep depression or something, and you think, okay, I can do this by myself. I'm gonna work, and then stuff happens at work, and you lose your job, and then all of a sudden you can't pay your rent, and then all of a sudden you're homeless, and now you're in the mission, and that's kind of how you got there. When part of what I want to pose the possibility pose the possibility is that if you can become aware of any of these little hurdles that you're trying to get over and start working on them now in different programs that are available to you now, you don't have to wait until it's dramatic that, oh my God, I've lost everything I have. You know, my family's left me. I'm homeless. I'm jobless. Now I can work on myself. I would like to say that part of the value, and there are people like Keith and myself and others that are out here trying to take you from where you are right this minute to a better spot. And so rather than wait to work on it now, is that, how do you feel about that?
I certainly agree with that. And again, going back to pay free, low cost, again, to advertise for the program I work for, RI does have their urgent care facility. So what that provides, it provides 24/7 mental health care. So you get individualized support. So it used to just be for adults, and effective January of 2019, it became for those 13 and above. So youth have their side of the building. Adults have their side of the building. There's a care team. There are peer support specialists. There's therapists. There's telepsych. People can go in that are having symptoms. They can speak to someone, sometimes just reduce their symptoms and create an action plan for them for continued support. Whether it includes medication or not, they could stay in there, get a 30-day supply of medication if that's what works for them, and get some kind of what we would typically call a discharge plan. That the peer, and we use the term peer in the recovery environment in Riverside County. We don't use the term consumer, just to educate. We don't use the term consumer or a client. If it's in the recovery journey, it's generally called peer, or if you're in a residential facility, simply a resident. But our urgent care facilities, we have one in Riverside and also one right here in Palm Springs on 2500 North Palm Canyon. So again,
there are lots of avenues to get help before it becomes a crisis. In so many ways, you know, this is, I'll liken it to something I learned in dad school, and that is that when something has happened to your car, you don't wait until it just totally breaks apart. You know, if your brakes are squeaking, fix the brake pads, because those are cheap. You know, if you wait until the rotor's scratched, now you got hundreds of dollars. So if you can work on these things when they're smaller, then it's easier to overcome. Let's talk about peers. So one of the things that I found really valuable was the webinar that you created, where you bring in two people. Tell me what that is, and is that something that people can tie into as well?
Absolutely. So I've been doing this program for about 2.5 years now. Through RI, it's called Contact for Change. And it is a program that is offered through RI, again, funded by the Cal Mesa monies through Riverside University Health System Behavioral Health. Again, it is a PEI program. And in doing this, we promote a range of strategies to change attitudes and behaviors regarding mental health, accessing services, suicide prevention. And at the end, the team, my presenters, explain and share the differences between mental illness and mental health, provide these much needed resources for treatment and support. But not only that, to share where they were before, to know what their eureka or aha moments were, that they chose recovery, what treatment plan, what coping skills, what strengths that they had for their recovery, is probably the most powerful piece. And you know what? It's different for everyone. Someone can be stuck with, maybe our presenter that we have is part of the LGBT community, or maybe they have substance challenges, or maybe like me, it's an eating disorder, or simply mental health challenges, mental illness, depression, major depression, or things. Part of my symptoms are something called, I don't want to go down a rabbit hole here, but it's called body dysmorphia. And that's basically where many people have thoughts of flaws on their body, but it doesn't keep them from leaving their house day to day. For me, it does. So that's something that I always need to be in the here and now and identify that I'll still be okay and move about my day.
Well, and again, I think one of the things that I found, and I would encourage people to do, and Keith, can we, we'll talk to the producer and we'll post some of the links. Can we do that after the show? So that they can, so that people can get in touch, with you. Now, is there a phone number they can call you at?
For sure. I would love to be inundated with phone calls.
All right. Let's do this.
It's 760-262-7263. And look, at the end of the day, we're wanting to address stigma. We're wanting to know that recovery is possible, that suicide is preventable. And with all these programs, whether it's RI or to do a shout out to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention or for my board of directors with NAMI Coachella Valley or NAMI.org, people can go on my Facebook page. I manage the NAMI Coachella Valley Facebook page. We have virtual support meetings. 12-step programs have virtual support meetings out there. I was told by one of my 12-step friends that 12-step meetings are essential. So they've actually been going on all along during this pandemic for those that know how to find it. So again, virtual meetings are something that's being done everywhere and you can just link up anywhere.
Yeah, well, and I have to say, one of the things that I think is come a positive out of the pandemic is that people my age and older are learning how to use Zoom and to have these virtual meetings. I have a Toastmaster speaking group on Thursday that we honestly had two people from Lebanon in our meeting. I mean, normally we meet at Denny's, not too many Lebanese people flying over for that meeting, but it's needed in the virtual environment that you can tie in to that. But again, one of the things that I really just want to hit home is that when you hear other people's stories, and this is partly why, I asked you in the beginning about kind of who you are, because you're an actual beautiful human being that we can relate to and understand. And I think one of the values of the webinar is that, there are two people that take about, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes to kind of go through there. This is where I was, I was a teenager, this is my parents, this is what happened, then I did this. And two totally different stories. I mean, the two people that I heard, two totally different stories, but in so many ways, I think the telling of the, this is what happened to me story is something that you could just literally grab onto. And in so many ways, there's kind of a plus and a minus in that part of it is like, oh my God, I've been through this and you've been through that. Amazing that these people recovered from some of the stuff that happened to them. On the other hand, there's this kind of like, well, God, my life's not so bad. Just, man, what they went through was like, whoa, man, I couldn't believe some of this stuff that they went through. But it really points out to me how resilient humans can be. And the fact that if you can just connect to somebody else, to Keith, to his programs, to the things that are going to lift you up and over that hurdle. Once you're over that hurdle, then you can fly high. And again, so much. One of the things that I would share in my life is that when here I was in the middle of my Air Force career, tall, macho, Top Gun, Tom Cruise, bomber pilot, extraordinaire. And then all of a sudden I find out I'm transgender and I think, okay, that's it. My life is over. That I there's nothing left for me. I'm going to be in that category. I'm going to be in that box now. And now there's nothing I can do. And my life is over. And in reality, one of the things that I would share with everybody is that has become one of my strongest strengths, is the ability to make those changes and to come through this. And, you know, when I hear the story of you overcoming your depression, the two people that were on the webinar, that just really kind of, to me, I think it gives you the strength to say that, hey, if they can do it, I can do it. And that might just be the impetus to move you up and over your hurdle.
Yeah. And to simplify some of it is when I talk about coping skills and things we do to decrease our anxiety, I remember years ago, there was two things I heard from just members of a group we presented to in the live format. One talked about working in a cubicle, and when she was on her break, she would take her shoes off and go walk on the grass by the lawn at her office. Another one would blow party bubbles out the window during a traffic jam. So those are two very simple coping skills
that have stayed with me. I want to get some bubbles.
That have literally stayed with me. And one of the most unique things, it's not unique anymore, but I think whenever it started in the late, around 2010-ish time, was this idea of peer support training, peer employment training. Just to quickly, because I know we're going to be running out of time, is for someone to be able to hold the hope for others that don't have it in themselves and to be paid to do that, all they need to do is be a Riverside County resident to share having either lived mental health challenges or in some cases, substance challenges. I'll provide your people the information on the lady that runs that program. Okay. Obviously, it's in a live setting and we're not live right now, but it's a 2-week, 8 to 4:30, Monday through Friday for 2 weeks. You get your peer support certificate like I have above my head that you can see.
Yeah.
But at any rate, to be able to have that meaning and purpose, again, as I talk, whether it's loud, animated, look, I'm Jewish and people also think I'm Italian because I use my hands when I talk so much. And maybe because I'm a little bit brash and I'm from the East Coast. Yeah. So I don't say orange, I say orange.
Well, you haven't gone to the Boston accent yet, so we haven't.
But no. And, yeah. And then again, the idea too, my favorite parts of peer employment training is the concept of recovery, pathways to wellness, managing self-talk, self-esteem, discovering what's next, resolution, understanding trauma, substance abuse, and one of my favorites, motivational interviewing.
Well, believe it or not, that takes us to the end of the show. It's like, so that's a perfect, perfect ending. I want to let everybody know, we'll post some stuff on the post show so that you can see some of the links and stuff. But honestly, I agree. If you are in a situation where you want to help other people and become a peer support specialist, there's nothing better than sharing your story and helping other people. With that, sadly, I hate to say this, but it's been a great day. Thank you, Keith, for coming and sharing. There's a little candy. Gotta love Zoom. I gotta love Zoom. That is it for the show. Remember that you bring your talents when you can find your true self. That's when you discover and deliver your true self. That's when you actually fly high, just like this. So this is Laura Meeks, Dream On, Fly High, Live Adventurously, and we will see you in 2 weeks here on The Laura Meeks Show. Have a great day.
You've been listening to The Laura Meeks Show. Dream on, fly high, live adventurously on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. And we hope you'll join us next month as Laura helps you find your unique gifts so you can bring them to the world. For more information on Laura Meeks or to listen to past shows, visit her website at flyhighliving.com. Check out her hit Dream On 12-week course, where you get the personal attention you need to fly high in your new life.